Today's MTR Network offering is brought to you by Daniel Palmer, OnQ.com. Are you still renting? What are you waiting for? OnQ Financial can make it faster and easier to get you out of that apartment and into a new house. Best of all, you may not need perfect credit or much money out of your pocket. That's right, you can get into a new house for low money down. You couldn't move into an apartment that cheap. You would need first month's rent, last month's rent, and a security deposit just to have the chance to make your landlord rich. Wouldn't you rather invest in yourself and your future? At OnQ Financial, our goal is to go above and beyond to assist in structuring a loan program at a competitive rate with a smooth and seamless experience to help you reach your dream of homeownership. Visit DanielPalmerOnQ.com and find out how to get on the right track to get out of that apartment and into the home your family deserves. Find out how easy it can be by going to the website, filling out a few short forms, and telling us exactly what you want that new house payment to be, and we'll do everything we can to make the dream of homeownership a reality. If you don't ask, the answer is always no. So find out how to get to yes at DanielPalmerOnQ.com. This is not an offer for extension of credit or commitment to lend. Some restrictions may apply. OnQ Financial, Inc. is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 5645, license GA22050. Welcome back to the Unanimous Decision Podcast. I am your host, D-Palm. Follow me on Twitter at D-Palm66. Follow the show on Twitter at UDPod. Follow the entire MTR network at the MTR Network. You found us. Don't lose us. Subscribe in the iTunes Store. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe anywhere. Podcasts are given away for absolutely free. When you're in the iTunes Store, go ahead and do me a huge favor. Leave that 5-star review. I don't ask for anything from the listeners of this show or our other shows, but I'm asking for this. Leave that 5 stars. You can leave a message if you want to. I'll read it on the air. If you don't want to leave one, don't leave one. Even less work for you, less work for me. Just leave the 5 stars and move on. It helps us. It helps us in a lot of myriad of ways, but it's just, I think, you know, that's the 2 cents I can ask you guys to put in on the podcast is to leave that 5-star review for me. I'd really appreciate it. And let's do some quick plugging. You found this show, so hopefully you found the other things I do on MTR. We have a mailbag coming up this week for Super Tuesday podcast, and that feed. Our second half of our Captain Marvel podcast will be dropping this week. And make sure you guys are up on, I know it's on this feed and on the main feed now, Between Two Palms, when episode 3 is dropped, episode 4 will be recorded next week and hopefully dropping. We'll also got our MTR Monthly Mortgage Minute dropping this week as well. A lot of good content coming out there. And because there was so much content, I wasn't going to do a show. I was comfortably, like, I had made the excuse for myself that I had a busy weekend, which I have had, that Sunday was going to be a lot of podcasting, which it's still going to be, and that taking a week off, the week of the after the All-Star break off, would be perfectly acceptable for a sports podcast. And the universe looked at me and said, but what if I told you Robert Kraft is going to get caught in a handjob sting? And I said, well, universe, I don't know. I need someone to talk to about this. I couldn't just do a solo show on such sordid details. And the universe said, what if I had an old friend join you on the podcast? And I said, well, it depends on the friend. And they said who it was. And I said, who else you got? And the universe said, that's all we've got. And so here we are, Kanata Edwards, Nata the Scribe on Twitter. He's back with us to talk about everything in sports and to probably be a little more feisty than last time, I think.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Better, again, you asked for someone better than me. And again, the universe tried to give you and you tried to give back. And here you are blocking your own blessings, D-Palm.
All I heard was 1998 Canyon asking who's better than Canyon. That's all I heard from what you just said.
Exactly. Who's better than Nata for this kind of subject? Who's better?
Wow.
Jeez.
Well, let's get to it first. We're going to talk about everything that happened this week, which is not just hand jobs in Florida, but a lot more things going on. But I do want to get some things out of the way. The conversation we're about to have is about, yes, a billionaire getting hand job, but it's also about sex trafficking, which is a very real problem in this country and around the world. This is not legalized sex work, which this podcast supports, and we know just from statistics and studies that if you legalize it, there's a less of a window for such sex trafficking to occur because it's better regulated and the women are better protected.
Indeed. Like, this isn't what, like, I think the thing is, and this is what I'm afraid of when we start talking about this, and you had some of this with ESPN, is that people are going to go, well, that's not the Robert Kraft I know. That's not the Robert Kraft I know. This, again, I've been around him X amount of years. We don't know these dudes.
Right.
Like, we don't. We don't. Let's stop
We're
acting like
gonna
we
get to the
do.
faux lionization of these guys in a second. But again, I want to make this very clear. The jokes I'm about to tell, and oh, there will be jokes,
Yeah.
are not minimizing the situation. Right now, Robert Kraft has been charged with solicitation, which means that his charging documents at this point do not point to him being an organizer or aware of the conditions these women are existing in. I'm not absolving him of anything because participation in these activities create fiscal incentive for these underground rings to continue. But as of the time of this recording, is just a John in all this. We're going to make John jokes.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, oh, yeah. The backdrop of this story is not funny.
No,
make that very clear. I think have I covered myself?
I believe you have. In worst case scenario, the block and mute buttons are available for us.
It's very, you know what? Those buttons. Oh, those buttons. So let's get to the jokes, because you got a billionaire paying $60 to get jerked off.
Yeah, that was.
I know, like, he was a hands-on owner.
No days off.
There's a list of
right?
jokes I'm gonna make, by the way. I have a list.
No days off, right? No days again. No,
Robert Kraft goes. If I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do this podcast right. God damn it.
God, like I don't even know where to start with this. I really don't. It's so much.
All right. Well, I'll start with someone for you. It's good. I'm glad you're going ahead and giving me places to start, because there's a list of people on this charging document, and there's some pretty good names on here. Robert Kraft is obviously the most important name on this list. However,
yes,
there are the names on here appearing. Mr. John Johnson, which is a great name. Mr. Daniel Young, date of birth 3/3/1934. That means he was caught on tape at a rub and tug at the spry age of 84 years young.
That man has seen some hard times then.
Richard Palmer, which is Dick Palmer, which is a great name on this list. And Rolf Redstall. Like, these are some ridiculous names. And then, of course, obviously Robert Kraft's name stands out because he's a billionaire. And I can't stress this enough. This is not some high-end massage parlor that got knocked over. This is like, there are people are taking selfies in front of it online. Like, if you Google this place, you can find it right now. It's ridiculous.
Of course it's ridiculous. Like, that's the thing. Like, and someone, like, I have a friend of mine that used to produce porn, and the one thing she told me about this is, like, I've never known a rich man not to go skimp on the escorts. So this
but
is
that's
this,
like So that and that and people, you know, people are trying to make maybe species at this point connections between Robert Kraft and the leadership of this whole ring. But that's where I get like kind of like maybe I'm watching too much True Detective. But I'm like, wait, why would he even know about this place? It should be so far beneath him. This man is a billionaire. They named the field at Columbia after him.
Yes.
After a substantial donation.
Yes. Look at it like this, though. Like, if you're starting to look at, like, because granted, he probably knew a friend of a friend of a friend. Hell, the chauffeur that drove him down there probably knew about it before he did. And that's one of those things, like almost a green book situation, where the chauffeur gets to know the boss, and the boss is like, boss is in the morning and everything else like that. And the chauffeur goes, hey, I know a place where you can go feel better. And he chose this place, which means the chauffeur should be fired tomorrow, most likely.
Oh, that too. The other thing coming out of this is that we're hearing that this is not the most – he's is not the biggest name on the list, which I'm not going to say that the person certain who's hiding at 1600 should be worried. But if your boys are caught up
– oh, yeah, no, yeah.
And my favorite part of all of this and all the jokes and all the stupidity of this entire story has been people telling themselves, because Jason Whitlock, who we do not like on the show, we all know, someone replied to Jason Whitlock and said, oh my, why would a billionaire need to go get a hooker? And Jason Whitlock's reply was, clearly has never had a rub and tug, which I don't know if there's a telling on yourself all-star team, but I think we got a first ballot Hall of Famer here.
First ballot Hall of Famer, longtime MVP. Like, he's the Bill Russell of, like, literally, he's got 11 rings. And I really shouldn't have said that, but oh well. He's the Bill Russell of self-snitching. Like, that's what he just did. That's how bad it was. I can't believe that he decided to go and do this. But thankfully, Whitlock is known to make himself look foolish in front of white people before, and he'll continue to do so. So we thank him for this, and we thank him for the jokes.
If there's one thing we've learned from the hands-on ownership of Bob Kraft, he will not stand to be slapped around by anyone. He will not be jerked around by the NFL here, and he's come out and said defiantly that he said it's never happened to these are false congregations. And if there's a video that America doesn't need and doesn't want to see, but now we know exists, is the fact that they've admitted that there's video evidence corroborating with the charging documents. I've never known of a video. This is the first time in the internet I'm like, oh, that's enough. Okay, I'm not going to go any further, because when the video drops, I don't want to know anything about it.
Yeah, how soon does TMZ pay like $1 million for that tape? How soon?
Sooner than later.
Like, I'm expecting
they
that.
They may already have it, because I think if you buy now, if they buy next week, the price goes up. I think they bought now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way they don't have that tape, and we're not going to see that tape, and we're all going to wonder why we wanted to go see that tape, and we're not,
because not all of us want to see that tape. I will not see that tape. There's a lot of stuff in the popular culture that I've actively tapped out on, the last two Transformers movies. I'm including this tape on that level.
Yeah. I would absolutely say that is probably one of those spots where I would. Well, no, it's not Transformers bad. It's not Transformers bad. Transformers is worse. Transformers is far worse.
I really rather. I don't need to divide into little categories. I just know that things I don't want to hurt my eyes with. That's on the list.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, it couldn't be any worse than Bumblebee, could it?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
Oh man, I thought you'd at least seen Bumblebee. It had Xena and everything.
Strong.
You'll end up watching it on Netflix.
That's not untrue. It's not untrue. let's stay in the NFL, but let's move on to other teams that things are happening that aren't nearly as funny as this. Colin Kaepernick, as we covered last week, he got paid. We don't know the number yet. We don't know the conditions, but we know that there's no discovery or evidence being dropped officially because of this lawsuit. We've seen the side taking. It's amazing to watch the two sides that are furthest away from each other unite, saying that Colin Kaepernick is wrong. One side saying by taking money, he's undervalued his actually, they're both saying the same thing. By taking the money, he's undercut his stance. And really? I cannot stress to people how unright this is. I'll point to someone I'm a fan of. He wrote for The Undefeated this week. Bomani Jones stated pretty clearly about how his only responsibility was to start the conversation. That's who he was. That's what this point was. And the lawsuit was never about the kneeling. It was never about social justice. It was about the fact that he did not have the opportunity to earn a living wage in his chosen profession due to collusion of the owners. And because a check was cut and because a gag order was in place, I feel fairly confident in continuing to make the jokes of how much collusion did he catch. Because I think they only need legally five teams.
Yeah.
We watched owners and GMs come out of those depositions looking worse for wear and maybe gambling, I won't be the fifth team. But if eight of you think that, guess what? You're all the fifth team. And what's interesting now is, as I mentioned last week, what's going to happen when the CBA is up? Because things are going to change. Because the league knows that they don't want to get caught like this again, so they're going to try to protect themselves. And the players know they will collude against you.
Yeah, like this is all very, very simple. Like this is where like the two sides, like there was nothing more predictable on this Kaepernick thing than people going on trying to on both sides saying Kaepernick was wrong. First things first, revolutions cost money, and most revolutionaries end up dying broke in a foreign country. Kaepernick didn't want to be that. So you know what? He's probably the evolved revolutionary. He realizes that while capitalism is alive, you still got to eat. So he's managed to make sure that he eats and still do damage because, like, I know me and you talked about this, like, we texted about it, that this is probably going to have – the ramifications are probably coming not next year, but when that CBA, like you said, comes up.
There's going to be a work stoppage. They may call it a strike. They may call it a lockout. We will miss football.
Yeah. There's absolutely going to be a work stoppage. And the players association – if they have their shit together, is going to win this and win this big, because the biggest thing, and I know me and you also talked about it, the big value in that gag order wasn't for the public. It wasn't for public perception because, again, as we've seen, football is heroin. We were going to watch it anyway, no matter what kind of injustices are going to go on. But it's to keep the CBA, to keep the Players Association from going and filing an antitrust rule and getting some kind of legal recourse and having the government all in their business. That's what this is about. That's not, again, that's what this lawsuit is about. That's not what, like, there's so many layers and nuances to this that I don't think people understand yet, or they won't until this player stoppage hits, the work stoppage hits.
So I want to ask you something that's that popped on your Twitter feed this week. The Panthers, they had a site question on their site. Any chance the Panthers sign Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid, who was recently signed to an extension by those very same Panthers and who also got paid in this lawsuit? He stated he didn't lose his job to Blaine. He was coming off three injuries and three surgeries, needing more time to heal. Once healed, he started again. No more false narratives in 2019, please. He's in the best shape of his life and ready to help win a championship. Two questions for you. Answer them in the order you want. One, how is the local perception of Eric Reed's emergence and importance to the team been? And two, do you think this is a place where Colin could land?
One, Eric Reed outside, because I remember the big thing about the Eric Reed signing is when he suited up, there was like a minor, and I'm by minor, I mean like the smallest, like little crater of dissatisfaction. There was more teeth gnashing than anything. But the big thing was that Eric Reed was the best secondary player in the secondary for the Carolina Panthers in 2018. So they were quiet. They were okay with it. It took about a week. The second answer to your question is, I, as someone that's written like 2 years ago that Colin Kaepernick should be a Carolina Panther, I think that this is the perfect spot for him because Kyle Allen is your backup right now. You like, there's talk about bringing in Tyrod Taylor, which makes sense to a little bit, but I, again, this is the perfect place for him because you sit
And
behind Cam. Cam's probably not going to start the
that's
season.
about to say, and we're looking at a season that's not going to start with Cam Newton under center.
So it would make all the sense in the world for them to sign Colin Kaepernick. Do it now. By the time training camp comes around, you'll have one or two cameras, extra cameras, and then things go back to normal until the first game. Personally, I don't see why they haven't done it already. This is the perfect spot for him, especially with a guy like Eric Reed. Torrey Smith, if he's still around, because he may be a camp casualty or a cap casualty, that I think he this is the perfect environment for him to be in, especially if guys like Greg Olsen, Ryan Khalil, like guys like that are leaving the building due to retirement or age, or someone wants him for a broadcasting opportunity. So I think this is a perfect spot for them, but we'll just see what they do. But yeah.
I think it's gonna be interesting. I think the rumors of people talking about the Pats, I don't think that's gonna happen. I just don't see it, honestly.
I would have said I don't see it before Friday. Friday, I could see it a whole lot more.
But no, I think for Pat, then maybe the Pats thing is more they would never use him.
No, they wouldn't. They
Like,
would
I
never
don't think
use.
that's a place. That's a place where you go if you're or if you're an underappreciated for the skill. A player, not even an underappreciated quarterback. That's where quarterbacks go to sharpen their skills and get and then bilk people for money without having to prove anything. Hi, all you quarterbacks. But I think that Colin, we all know he's been watching, we all know he's been training, we all know he's been wanting to get back. I'm not saying if he should or could or will. I can't speak to that. If he does back end up back on a team, I want him to have a place where like, he can participate. He can be on the field, and the Patriots would feel like the league almost again buying his silence.
Yes, but I think with everything with Kraft, I think they're going to need a feel-good story. They're going to need
But
something.
this doesn't make their people feel good.
I don't think it's about their people anymore. I think it's just about public perception.
And look, like we can, like whatever happens with this Kraft thing, this is a legacy hit for him.
Oh yeah,
His
no,
legacy
this
has
absolutely
changed.
is. No,
Like
this
this is,
absolutely is.
there's gonna be some minimization coming around because he's so well liked and has so many media connections. Make no mistake, either even just as a John, or heaven forbid he had some sort of connection to the leadership of this thing, his legacy is not going to be the same as it was on Thursday morning.
No, it wasn't. No, it's not. But at the same time, I think when you have that much money, I think you can afford not to care.
But that's the thing. Their egos make them care. Jerry Jones shouldn't care about how we think about him. He does.
Yeah. Jerry's ego is tied up in that team, though.
Jerry should be
Jerry's
tied
ego.
up in everything.
Yeah, that's also very true. So is Jimmy Haslam's apparently too.
Oh, man. Let's go now to the AFC and talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers, because this week there's an announcement with not transition tag Le'Veon Bell, effectively ending the national nightmare that has been a 26-year-old all-purpose back being kept out of the game that he loves. And they've also announced that they're going to be working to trade away Antonio Brown, who led their league in touchdowns last year again, while missing the last game, notably for unknown reasons.
Yeah.
Now, I ask you, if I am this team, if I am the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I look at the three, let's call them difference makers on offense. That's your quarterback, your receiver, and your running back. Even with the emergence of Juju Smith-Schuster and the part-time emergence of James Conner, would you feel comfortable parting ways two-thirds of something that's been pretty solid for you for the last 3, 4 years?
Of course, especially not, of course not. Like, that's the thing that bugs me is like, you have a quarterback issue that had that, and you have a quarterback issue. Okay,
Right.
I understand quarterback is very hard to replace. At the same time, I'm not willing to give him his get rid of his help. Now that just doesn't sound smart. That's like, okay, you have aging quarterback that might not be the best locker room guy who's caused more issues and fractured that locker room. We can keep him, or we can keep Le'Veon Bell, who's under cap and who you could pay decently. And we can keep Antonio Brown, who's under contract for the next couple of years. You would think that would make sense and they would do the simple thing. Apparently not. I am befuddled. I am distraught. And I am like, but that, at the same time, Steelers fans, you know what? I've seen you guys. I've hung out with you guys. Y'all deserve this. Y'all deserve this for all the Big Ben capes. Y'all deserve all of it. All of it.
It's so wild because if you look statistically, yes, they have a quarterback problem because he is not very good statistically. Like you look at the number of interceptable balls thrown by him as a percentage, it's going up every year. However, he's looked good enough on the field because he's had a Le'Veon Bell, because he's had Antonio Brown, and because Antonio Brown's able to take coverage away from Juju. It all works together. It's all a big organism. And you take away two major parts of it, you wonder what's going to be left. But they also have a quarterback problem in the fact that he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, yes, there are a lot of quarterbacks. Spoiler alert, guys, on a lot of football teams that you love, the quarterback is not the most liked guy in that locker room. And in fact, he may be one of the least liked because he's the only player in there who's legitimately treated differently. Now, what I'm going to say to you now is that what you have to realize is that those quarterbacks, as much success as they have on the field, the success they have with their team is mitigating those relationships. Ben Roethlisberger, at every turn, has failed this test. He goes on his radio show and publicly excoriates his players by name. Leaking things to the media is one thing. Saying things to coaches that you know is going to get us another thing. Saying things directly to the media about your teammates, and people say, "Oh, you don't know if he's saying it to his face." I don't give a f Say it to my face and then say it to the media doesn't make it better.
No, it makes it worse, in fact.
You've
It
got to
makes
realize that
it
these
far
football teams,
worse.
these 53 guys, what co coaches look to cultivate, what you saw in New England headed into the World Super Bowl was us against the world. No one believes in us. And the second you say there's a problem in this house to someone outside of this house, openly and loudly and specifically publicly, you damage the house. I'm very curious in losing their two best skill position players what that locker room is going to look like because, for better or worse, it looks like they said we're choosing Ben over them.
Yeah, and the one question I do have is, if you're Mike Tomlin, how cool are you with all of this right now? So you mean to tell me I got to lose Connor? I get to keep Connor, I get to keep Juju, but I'm losing Bell and Brown? Like, where does that make sense? And then you're leaving me with a bigger problem that's already fractured this house over multiple years? Because again, Big Ben's been calling people out for how long now? It's been at least 4 or 5 years.
No one who
And
leaves that team has good things to say about him.
yeah,
Look at what James Harrison's quotes were right after he left. Roger, he was cut.
those were not good. No.
And they don't hold, like, people don't hold their tongues when they, like, it's the thing, when people leave New England and say things like, yeah, it's not the most fun, but you win, but it's never personal attacks. They never felt like they were undervalued as people. In Pittsburgh, that's not it. Particularly
No.
offensively, once you part ways, you don't see Jerome Bettis on a bunch of sidelines.
No, you don't see anybody. Like, who's the last guy? Joey Porter? Like, Joey
Yeah,
Porter's the only one that's really come back, and he came back as a coach.
he had a job.
Like, you don't see Hines Ward. You
Nope.
don't see, like, hell, you don't even see Cordell Stewart there. Like, think
That's
about that.
like it's one of those things that you don't realize until you take a step back, like, wait a second, this is not normal. There's no big alumni day. The alumni days always goes back to the 70s when you've had more recent success.
Yeah,
It's
exactly.
interesting. We had the GM this week say Ben is a father figure with 53 kids. Hey, man, these are grown ass men. They have fathers. They are fathers. Who the fuck do you think you're talking to?
Dude, when I saw that quote, I saw that quote, and I'm just like, you know what? If I'm Mike Tomlin, I might just quit before they fire me. Go find me
Oh, they're
and
setting
go
up
find.
Tomlin to fire. That's the thing. That's the thing. That's the other. They're setting up Tomlin to get fired. Here's your fall guy. His name's Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they're setting him up. I would be calling ESPN right now. How bad, or ESPN, CBS, or Fox, how bad do you need a new analyst? How bad? How bad? Because I will happily go over there. You give me the Jason Witten package, and I can come in there and I can brighten up your studio show. I would be doing that right now. If I was his agent, I'd be doing that right now, setting up
Tomlin
my
will
exit
die.
strategy.
I think when Tomlin gets done with the Steelers, I think we'll never see him again.
I think so too, but I think he's good enough with media where he could
Oh,
have a long
he
career.
could, but I think that you watch the way that Pittsburgh. It's just like when Rick left Georgia and went to Miami for the soft landing. Like, once you're treated this way by a bunch of people for long enough, you don't want to deal with it anymore.
Yeah. But I
I
don't
didn't
think he's going
begrudge
to.
Rick for leaving for Miami. He's like, God, these people drive me insane too. And the second we got crazy in Miami, he fucking retired.
Yeah. But like, I would honestly be calling ESPN. Like, I would be calling a network to just deal with some low stress, low TV coaching, just some film work, something along the lines of that. Do something with TV and get out of the game because you're done. There's no way you're going to want to come back and do this all over again, especially if you have another hot shot quarterback. No way.
Or we're going to leave football now and go to America's former favorite pastime. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, I am recording this after a night of heavy drinking. And while I was drinking last night, someone, baseball highlights were on. They're like, oh, look, spring training. And I made a comment about your sport must be broken if you can't sign your best players to long-term contracts in a market where everyone has money to spend. They then entered in the commissioner's stated line of this is the changing market. They said, that's bullshit. If you want to be good, you pay the players who are going to make you good. You want to pay them as much? Hey, don't pay them as much because you can't say the market has to change right now because you don't like the players getting played. With
Not
that said,
right.
Manny Machado is a Padre and Bryce Harper, as of this recording, still unemployed. Baseball's broken. Counterpoint?
Baseball remains broken. I'm like,
Okay.
think about this like 5, 6 years ago. Think about this like 5, 6 years ago, where you're having a point where like the Yankees weren't really interested in either guy. Now, granted, if George Steinbrenner were still alive, that would probably
If
change
George
and
Steinbrenner is still alive, none of this would be a problem.
yeah, none of this would be a problem because he'd be
Because
like,
he'd do
look,
crazy shit and everyone would have to chase him.
yeah, everyone would have to chase him. Baseball needs an owner like a Steinbrenner. They need a Joe Lacob that wants to be quote unquote light years ahead of everybody else. Someone greedy enough. They need a real-ass venture capitalist in baseball badly. And I'm not usually the big venture capitalist guy, but they got to get a guy that's willing to win at all costs and dominate at all costs while all these other teams are really, really content in making money. And that's just it. Winning's ancillary to them. They need a guy like that because
They've
right
got,
now,
well, they have no impetus though. They've got a machine right now that because it's the only live sport in the summer and because people watch more television in the summer because kids aren't in school, they have the very built-in commercial machine to print money. So in between that and revenue sharing, they have no financial incentive to spend money to be good. A
this is
lot of
also
these teams
true.
say, oh, we're scared of luxury tax. I think it's 30% teams weren't even within half weren't within halfway there last year.
No, they weren't.
The luxury
No, they're
tax is a scapegoat. Pay these players, guess what? If you, I don't know, we're trying to build for the future. Bryce Harper's a pretty good building block. I'm no expert. It seems like Bryce Harper is a get. And it looks like he's going to end up being a Philly, and that's fine. But him showing up 2 weeks in the spring training is fucking weird. What if LeBron, what if Kevin Durant was a free agent and no one signed him?
Do you want to know what I would think? Honestly, I would think that the league is in some sort of lockout. Like, and that's
what I think. It sounds like collusion.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Which baseball has been banged for repeatedly, mind you. Every time they've gone to court for this, every time they've lost. Similar to the NFL. Every time they've gone to court. Last time they went to court, I believe, was 1989, if I'm not mistaken. And they lost that.
I didn't revisit it because this is still the strongest union we've got in sports. Like, people are like, oh, what do I mean by that? Hey, guys, the Tom Brady taking a pay cut horseshit would never happen in the MLB. Oh, he's a great teammate. Tom Brady's a terrible teammate because a true teammate would maximize his value to make sure that the players behind him got more money. That's how a union's supposed to work. That's why players have to take the largest offers. I think there's an actual union rule. You have to take the biggest offer.
Yeah, there is. And like, honestly, though, I would say this. Baseball used to be the most powerful union.
Well, no, I'm saying comparatively it still is because all the other unions are trashed.
I would say this. The NBA Players Union might have
to be. We're going to talk about them in a second, and we're going to point out just how trash they are as well, my friend. Thank you for the segue, because next up, we are going to the NBA, and we're going to the NBA via Tobacco Road, because this week, Duke played UNC, and 30-some-odd seconds into the damn game, Zion Williamson busted out his shoe, and we all turned the fucking channel, because that's the only reason we're watching college basketball.
You forget I live in North Carolina. I am under legal obligation to keep that game on one TV or another.
And you forget that I don't consider North Carolinians people. Anyway.
True.
So, Zion went down. Nike got roasted, rightfully so, even though, like, what do you do? How do you protect a shoe from Zion Williamson? I don't know. And everyone freaked out and said, is Zion going to keep playing? He's kind of come out and said, I want to keep playing because he's 17 or 18, and that's what children think. And he's not going to listen to the show, so I'm not going to try to convince him to do otherwise. Do whatever you want. If it's Daniel Palmer in 2019 and I had this ability and the mind I have now, I wouldn't play another second of basketball for free in my entire life.
No. No, but at the same time, this is where I don't want to blame the parents. I don't want to be that guy, but you know what? I'm going to be that guy. If you're his parents, the minute you see him strain his MCL, don't you think, yo, look, you're going to be number one anyway, and I get that, but you can't play anymore. We're going to go down to IMG in Florida. We're going to train there. We're going to get your shot right.
It's so weird because I agree with you 100%. And to watch like a Charles Barkley say, this is what we do. We're ball players. Charles, this isn't the game when you played at Auburn. There's a billion-dollar industry where the players are exploited, and openly so. Where Zion Williamson could have charged 40 grand per Instagram post last year, but didn't because he didn't want to violate NCAA rules. This is a place where these parents and these families saying, you don't just send your kid to college and say, I hope he develops into a good old player. They've been grooming him for this since he was 12, 11 even. The path to being a top flight, number one overall draft pick, does not start when you get to Duke. It started at home. It started with the sacrifices parents have made, both physical and temporal, to make this dream occur for their son. This is no longer, oh, I hope we make it. This is an investment this family has made. And if the family decided that the best investment for the family was him to stop playing basketball, I would hope he would stop playing basketball.
Yeah, because that was the thing that bugged me the most about that is that, again, people like I know that do radio in Raleigh were like, he's got parents. Let's stop acting like, again, the quote-unquote concern trolling. And the whole time I'm like, look, his parents are setting him up for something bad. Because, again, even if he does tear his ACL, he's still the number one pick, and it's not close. But that being said, if he's doing that for free, I think we're kind of ignoring the whole fact that he's doing this for free. He's doing this and generating billions upon billions of dollars on top of creating the most television ratings that we've seen since what? Probably Anthony Davis in Kentucky? Like, this is the most television-driven guy that they've had in a very, very long time. So the fact that, we're having this conversation and he's not being able to see any of this money right now, like the fact that he got poked in the eye, I want to say in January. And I was like, look, I'm done. I've been done. Like, he got poked out. Nope. Again, I'm in Tallahassee right now. IMG is just up the road. Y'all catch me there. I'll do stuff on Instagram. We will charge again. We'll do a Patreon stream. $40 per view of my training sessions. And he would have made bank. I'd have done that. There ain't no way I'm getting hurt. No. The game's too fast right now. And athletic careers, as we all know, don't last that long.
100%, man. 100%. Well, nothing else that's actually come up this week is that the NBA has decided to rescind the one-and-done rule over the next 4 years, meaning that eligible players after their graduation from high school could go straight to the NBA. What's interesting is that people don't realize this is not the NBA or the NCAA's rule. This is a rule that's shepherded by the NBA Players Association for the express purpose of benefiting the Players Association. What I mean is that when the number you can come in at 19, that means there's a larger middle class because there's fewer younger players in the league. If it's 18, you've now added a whole new class of players who come in and disrupt the economics of the NBA. So what's going to be interesting is now that I think the NBA has proposed it, if the Players Association ratifies it and accepts this, because it's in their best interest not to. And yeah. I know that I make the NCAA the boogeyman a lot because, honestly, they are fucking horror movie villains 90% of the time. This one's not on them.
This one isn't on them, and the NBA is going. I'm wondering what the NBA is going to have to give up for this to go through, for the NBAPA to accept this. I'm wondering what they're going to
shift the non-basketball revenue split again.
I don't even think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be roster spots. I think you're going to see a league. I think we're headed towards a league where every team's going to have a G League affiliate. I think we're headed that route anyway. I think you're going to have to expand. The rosters are at 15 now. I think you're going to have to expand it to 17 and just have keep your three, like you'll have 14 guys that can be active, that can play. And then you're going to have your three guys in the G League to factor four, to give veterans a chance to make a roster and give young guys a chance to develop, because a lot of these 18-year-olds are not going to be ready. But at this point, I don't care anymore. I'd rather them get paid than not get paid, you know?
Right.
So I think we're headed to roster expansions, and I think we're headed to G League affiliates in every town. And I'm kind of here for it right now. The owners may not, but I think that's going to have to be their concession, because I don't think you can do a BRI split again without it getting supremely ugly. And I don't think the owners –
No one wants players. To win now. There's too much money being made. Yep. Everything's going too well. No one, unlike the NFL situation, this is a league and a player association that's working pretty much hand in glove right now.
Yep.
And I don't think they want to upset the apple cart. I think they'll come to an amicable place where everyone feels they got screwed a little. That means that everyone won. That means
everyone won.
Pretty good deal. All right, you cover the NBA for a living, man. You were in Charlotte while the All-Star game was occurring. How did your city hold up under the weight of Black Super Bowl?
My God, man, it was such a beautiful thing. It was such a beautiful thing. Quick story. So I think I told you I was going to a fashion show. I was supposed to go to a fashion show, and they gave me the
wrong. What fashion show?
It was Nike Converse. Nike Converse. Yes. Nike Converse. It was a very nice Nike Converse fashion show, except for half the one detail that they did not put in the email until I really, really read through it, was that it was a kids fashion show. So, yeah. And if you follow me and you know my life, that is perfectly not an Edwards type thing, is that I go to a kids fashion show when I don't have to and almost miss the tip off of the celebrity game. Mind you, it was... Like I said, to put it this way, it held up well. There weren't any real issues. I only saw a couple of people run three Carmani games outside of the epicenter. I was disappointed there weren't more. They made a museum, an entire Nike store, for God's sakes. And it was crazy. And the shoe drops, if you were a sneakerhead, were absolutely worth it. I got myself a pair of Kobe's, a pair of infrared Jordans. I'm a very happy man right now. I'm a very broke man, but I'm very happy at the same time. I would just say that Charlotte showed well for itself. We're not Super Bowl ready, nor should we ever really be because the hotel infrastructure is that bad. I would say this, and NFL draft, I could see it happening. If you're going to give Nashville one, you got to give one to actually, successfully held an All-Star game. So that is the report card. If I was to give it a grade, B plus.
Let's do it, man. I think that's great. I think it's impressive what RC Cities had done with these two events back to back. Because by all accounts, the Atlanta Super Bowl was really well handled, and sound everything out of Charlotte's been nothing but positive. So congratulations, Southeast, but you showed up for once very well.
Exactly. And you managed to leave your house and go somewhere on that Super Bowl week. I'm proud of you.
I'm telling you, man. I had friends be like, "Let's come to this networking event, which just means party, or come to this party." And I was like, "Hey, let's get lunch, or let's go have coffee." I was the wash friend in the NFL city. It was great.
Oh no.
Oh, it was the best. I'm so glad to. I'm easing into the washed role in my life, and I couldn't be happier about it. Tim Donaghy came out this week. It was revealed after independent investigations that there's more than a little likelihood that not only did he bet on games, but he altered the outcomes of games. And when you look at kind of the scoring model they use, it's insanely easy to alter the outcome of a game as a referee. You just call more fouls for different teams and different times in the game. What do you think this does for the league as the league is getting in bed with legalized sports gambling? Is it, I know people would say, oh, more eyes on it is more regulation because sunlight's the best disinfectant. But to see just how easy it is to alter the outcome of a game, and that Tim Donaghy was doing it for like 2,500 bucks.
He was doing it for so little at the end because everybody caught wind of it. It's really funny to me because I think that's what the NBA thought the last 2 minute report was going to do. And having, as we record this, the last 2 minute report has not come out for the Charlotte Hornets Brooklyn Nets game last night, and Kemba Walker was clearly fouled attempting a three, costing them a game with a no call. So the last 2 minute report was supposed to be this cure-all, this band-aid of we're watching everything. They're gonna have to do something else because at this point, if it's that easy to affect the outcome of games, you're gonna have to put some real-time oversight in, and that's where it's all going to get kind of finicky.
Well,
And
I think that's where like the new developments that they're touting in their AI is going to help because this is something that you can't have. You can't take out of human hands. At least the monitoring of it. You can, obviously can't take officiating out of human hands, but the monitoring of the rate of calls and such things and how they affect turnovers and how they affect and all that versus a point spread.
like
It's.
there's like they're gonna have to be, I don't know how you do this. And I also like for certain teams to hire like known public gamblers and put them in spots in the office. I don't know how I feel about that too. And I mean, you got that the Dallas Mavericks hiring Bob Vulgaris, who's obviously a very noted guy that in sports Twitter for gambling, and he's got a prominent role in their gaming gambling side. Like
Right.
there's a lot of strange bedfellows, to say the least. And I think a lot of this is too much too soon. And for my money, I wouldn't, if I were to bet on an NBA game, I probably wouldn't because there's way too many variables as we see right now.
100%. Let me see where this little feud here. We're gonna go straight to last night. The Rockets sans James Harden beat the Warriors. You saw a little meltdown near the second half as Draymond and got intercepting, being stepped on by DeMarcus Cousins. You saw DeMarcus Cousins and KD kind of get into it. What do we feel like this year? Like this, the Rockets are quietly 3-0 against the Warriors this year, and I have not aesthetically liked what's happened there with James Harden, but with him on the bench, they came out and beat the Warriors.
Yes, and this all reminds me of the fact that we really can't judge the Golden State Warriors on anything before like March 1st. Like that's the problem with all of this, is that they're allowed not to care. Now, granted, Draymond getting injured, that's something to pay attention to because they might end up third or fourth in the West. And granted, home floor advantage really doesn't matter, but having to play a scrappier team that really doesn't know any better is going to cost you games. I don't know, again, at some point, but the Houston Rockets team, that's a regular season built team for me. And they are isolation heavy. And as we saw last year, you can only run isolation so much until
But
people
last night they
start getting
weren't really
tired.
isolation heavy. They were in, I think Paul had 17 assists last night.
Yeah, but a lot of that was created off of isolation.
Off the drive and dish. Yeah. But still, if it's working, it's working. Like, it's one of those things where, yeah, we can say, oh, the Warriors are going to change in the playoff. For me, this game showed me that the gap between the Warriors and the rest of the league, it shrunk every year. People say, oh, I don't like these dominant teams. What happens is that these dominant teams have other teams chasing them and they pick up the speed. The league,
Yeah.
the gap between the Warriors and the rest of the league is not as big. Last year, the Warriors got pushed to seven by a Rockets team without Chris Paul. You got to remember,
Very
this
true.
gap is getting smaller and more negligible. And yes, they're going to be able to turn it on. And yes, they find another level in the playoffs. But the question is, when is that going to be enough? Because if DeMarcus Cousins and Kevin Durant can't get their spacing issues down and are running, literally running into each other on defense and switches, that's more than just say, oh, we've got to figure it out for the playoffs. That could be an underlying thing because we've seen this team have personality ticks throughout this season.
Oh yeah. By the way, do you want to know a funny little stat I saw on Twitter last night? DeMarcus Cousins on the floor combined in the last five games is a plus minus of minus 41. There are issues with DeMarcus Cousins.
He
DeMarcus
doesn't really
Cousins can
fit in those lineups that they use.
no, and he doesn't have the lateral quicknesses because he's a man coming off Achilles surgery. He's not he, again, defensively, he's a liability for them.
They think they're treating him like he's a lot less hurt than he actually is.
Yeah. And they're allowed to now because that unfortunate because it's the regular season. Like they're going to switch this up at some point. I just don't know when. That's the problem. They're going to have to switch this up. I'm wondering when that actually happens because like and probably it'll be for playoff time, but you have to absolutely do something with DeMarcus Cousins because he's killing you right now.
All right. Well, for everyone who likes, the normal sports that we talk about and the normal things we cover, thanks for listening. The outro will come fairly soon after this, though. But for those of you who are here for the realest of the real, let's talk a little WWE, a little fake fighting, and let's talk
Yes.
about heading into WrestleMania season. First of all, it's the most up in the air WrestleMania season that I've seen in a very long time. Arn Anderson was let go last week, which is a huge move, not only because Double A is the greatest professional wrestler who's a lot younger than you think he is. But also because he has been John Cena's main agent for his matches for the last few years. This could be the beginning of the end of his job. John Cena has seen as top guy and top draw. But yeah, it looks like the only thing that we can guarantee for WrestleMania is that a prominent feature of the card will have Ronda Rousey and Becky Lynch facing each other in some way. It's been stated that Ronda Rousey's big mission in coming to WWE was to elevate the women to main event a show. Two questions. One, do you think Ronda can main event this Mania? And two, why should it be a one-on-one match with Becky Lynch and not involve Charlotte at all?
A, I think Ronda, if they brought in Ronda since basically to have women main event Mania, then mission accomplished because that should be the card, that should be the main event. There's no other match that I'm really interested in seeing. Like Brock Rollins, I've seen before and it was awesome, but
I'm
there's
really
no
excited
under
for that match. Like, the wrestling nerd in me is super excited for that match.
Yeah, no, that's again because you saw what they did with Finn Balor at the Rumble. That was awesome. Rollins is probably the best wrestler on the planet, not named Kenny Omega right now.
I'll have the Kenny Omega argument, by the way. I developed myself a wrong argument for it.
But I would like the only match I really care about right now is Becky Ronda. Like, that's the only one I care about. And to answer your question, I kind of want to see Charlotte. I do
Oh,
want to see
how
Charlotte.
dare you? Get out. Get out. That's a wrong opinion. That is a factually wrong opinion. Charlotte has no part business in this match.
I get it, but I think this is, as long as they don't turn it into a fatal four way, I'm okay. And as long as they
Look,
don't
okay, let me do this.
WrestleMania 2000
Let
them.
me break it down for you now. Charlotte Flair is John Cena. She'll be hot enough to main event another one of these.
Yes.
There is no guarantee you have Becky on this run ever again.
Oh, I agree.
In
Becky
professional
Lynch.
wrestling, you strike when this iron is hot. Is at its hottest. The hottest match in the world right now is Ronda versus Becky Lynch.
Oh, I agree with
Charlotte,
that.
I think you can get Charlotte out of the way with this Fastlane pay-per-view. Also, guys, there are too many fucking pay-per-views. Two between Rumble and Mania makes me want to blow my head off. Anyway, you can do Ronda Becky. You can do Charlotte, and Charlotte can main event Manias until the cows come home.
Or you can
It's
do Becky
Mania.
Charlotte again at Backlash.
Yeah.
Like,
There are
you're
no ways to
slowly
this.
convincing me into this.
Charlotte's gonna run on top. This is a Becky just got an endorsement deals from Head and Shoulders and from some beef work. Like, Becky Lynch is having a real moment now.
Yeah, she's CM Punk. That's what she
Yeah.
is. She's CM Punk right now. Except they're
Except
trying to do the
because she
same
was
thing.
born to do the media shit.
Yeah, exactly. And the sad thing is, again, bookers can't get out of their own way on this one.
No, I'm not mad at bookers. If as long as we end up at the one-on-one, I'm okay with the meandering, because otherwise it's a boring 2 months.
I think there was ways to get around this. My only issue right now is, what are we gonna do with Asuka? Because Asuka, Mandy Rose, nah, bro, that's
That's
unlikely.
fire. See, you haven't watched Mandy work. I'm not gonna do this right now, but Mandy and Sonya Deville are fucking workers.
No,
Mandy throws a knee better than anyone else in that company.
you know what? I will absolutely give you Sonya Deville. Sonya Deville is super underrated.
After this podcast, I'm gonna link you some Mandy matches.
All right, will do.
Mandy is nice. Adam,
I
man,
will.
thank you for coming on our impromptu podcast to talk about all things Robert Kraft and his new website Kraft Singles, which is the title of this episode because I am a child. I normally don't name these until I'm editing. I named this one 3 days ago. The second I was like, Kraft Singles, brought to you by Kraft Singles.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, man, tell everyone where to find you.
At Not of the Scribe on Twitter. Basically, everything I write, produce content-wise, comes out of there. I'm on Locked On Hornets. We do 5 days a week Locked On Charlotte Hornets coverage. Yes, you should feel sorry for me. Yes, I watch 82 games of this shit. So really feel sorry for me. Support us. Support D Palm. Support his Between Two Palms. It is probably the funniest episode, the content that he does, because it just gives you a little glimpse into the home life that he has to do. It's great.
It's
You're welcome. I
it's
plugged your
it's
show for you
it's
on my time.
I appreciate it. It's something. But yes, Between Two Palms, we're doing a revisit of the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe. Three episodes are out. The fourth episode should drop out either later this week or early next. Been a lot of fun. We're gonna do special episodes for Captain Marvel and for Endgame, of course. And then we're gonna find out something else to talk about because you guys are responding to those podcasts fairly well. Check out the Character Corner feed. You should be updated with the second part of Captain Marvel talking about Carol Danvers and Monica Rambeau. Other things we talked about. Oh, the mailbag will be dropping on Wednesday, last Wednesday of February. So if you have any questions for that, mailbag@ntrnetwork.com. And I do believe that was it for the week. That was your show. This is your outro. See you guys next week.